want that the bulk of the time. And then we call upon five ties to the help of them then, and then we would have to do it or break a treaty. Now that's the whole turkey proposition. Thailand is the only country in that part with a treaty. We don't have any Singapore, Malaysia, Cambodia, Laos, or Vietnam. No treaties at all.
But I did assure that we were going to live up to our treaty commitment.
Absolutely.
And Thailand as well as Taiwan. And that's another thing that they all ask.
Good for treaty.
What are we going to do in Taiwan? Are we going to support them? Are we going to live up to our commitment? Are we going to go out to so forth? I thought the meeting in Thailand was exceptionally good. We went out one night with the Prime Minister. They had a festival, I think. It's a huge festival that they celebrate once a year, where they light little floating baskets and put them on the water to make a wish. So it's kind of a New Year's Christmas all rolled into one. And he invited us out to his summer home and showed us all through the place. He and his wife got a house up there that they got teak wood. So lovely architect. He took us in and showed us his bed and his dresser and it's all this beautiful inlaid Chinese mother of pearl and stuff, which not my favorite furniture. You know, this was obviously damn fine stuff. But he took us in and showed us the bedroom sitting and the whole work. It was a sports shirt affair. And then we had dinner in his dining room. But it was a barbecue there, kind of a barbecue deal. They had the shish kebab, but one of the fellows who's imported a bunch of Santa Cruz cattle and went to Thailand and shipped some wheat down. He was down there and carried hundreds, thousands of people up down the river. And the boat was knocked out over the fireworks, long fireworks display. And they had floats. He insisted that he'd just come with him and stay with him. And the minute he put his little float in the water, well, Matt and I put one in. We lit the candles, floated one, and he insisted I go with him and stand with him while he gave out all the prizes. He gave about four prizes for all the floats. Mm-hmm. And they're all wonderful. It's a hell of a question. They're beautiful.
They're gracious people, aren't they?
They really are. Wow. So they were very kind to us. We went to see the king the next day, and the queen was not there. I don't know what.
best reception we've got anywhere, I guess, is in the region.
Right.
Of course, it's a hard road, extremely kind, again, I went to have 5 weeks without our bachelor's degree. Sometime with the bachelor. He was, he's concerned about the same thing, concerned about the United States attention specifically on Haiti. Thirdly, and directly concerned about Cambodia. Apparently, he and Lon know that he was up there about a year ago, and was there really before Senator left the country. And apparently, Senator introduced him to his chief of staff, Lon know, and said, I'm sure he's known very much how to do it. He's been out of line on it. So, he and Lon know got the vision. Apparently, going very fast function, and he is, from all I gather, from our own people, he's extremely concerned about Cambodia. And then he was out there before. So he kind of was just standing out quite a rapport with the Lon Nol. And he's worried about the Chinese problem, very much so. And they all are itchy, they're all itchy. They don't know whether your move means that they'll immediately start diplomatic relations or start trade relations or just what. They don't know what. And I basically said to them, I said, I tried to assure them that they ought not get their expectations too high. I said, just don't assume that if we're going to be swept away by any emotion in them, I said, because they know full well that it's a long, hard road. Establish any kind of a rapport or working relationship with me and China. That they're going to be no better than this. I tried to point out to them that everybody thinks that when China opens up for trade, it's going to be like the horn of plenty opened up. But I said, truth, you know, there's 750 million Chinese should have no more world trade than 50 million on Taiwan, about $4 billion a year, that's all. And I said, it's just not fair. And I said, we're all going to make the same. If we move too fast, and if we're too eager, whatever we do, as they say. And then I went through with each case, I went through these steps.
Well, that's a curse. It's extremely helpful to give them a reassurance on that point.
So I gave them, I said, the President's asking to see you diplomatic and make the following points. And I said, it's too late to make a rule, and she's too strong, in fact, too great for us to withdraw. Make some documents designed to draw on this book, and so forth. And then I talked about the foreign aid thing, and I told him that I developed the foreign aid picture, and said that he had recognized that there's some growing some protectionism in the United States, largely because of what had been happening to us. She took the steps on all these things, both to correct the imbalance in our trade situation. And secondly, it's kind of still these forces of protection before they became too vocal and in the United States. And I said, as a part of that, you could have felt that you could cut foreign 10%. And you did that, well, but the Congress then, because they were in control of opposite parties, well, they had to get in on some of the political popularity of the protectionism that they saw coming in this country, so they just cut it all out. I'm sure the President can't get it restored. I said, I don't know exactly what form of government the administration should do everything in power to restore foreign aid. And I said, we're not going to leave it here. We're going to stay in Southeast Asia, military, financially, economically, culturally, for as long as we can have it. So this was quite reassuring to all of them, and it, I think particularly was to Shaharka. His wife entertained that at a lunch bar, took her all through at home. One night, about 10 of the cabinet gave dinner for us, all of our group, and we had a
we had a real good meeting with them on three different occasions. We met with all of the property owners. And I'm very impressed with them.
Are you?
Yes, sir.
Good.
Well, hell,
that's an important company.
They're all articulate, they're all highly educated, they're all doing things, they're all graduates. Most of them graduate schools. The finance manager spent 4 years in Berkeley. Graduated Pennsylvania. One of them from Purdue. They're all damn smart, all of them important. Very aggressive, apparently all of them extremely dedicated. And he's listening. It's a hard one to listen to. I'm saying he's got a couple of old military buddies, a couple of generals that are still around, but it's our people don't like it. They think they're bad. Rake off, but
it's hard to raise the military.
Yes,
you reassure him.
Yes, and primarily
one place that we should know the difference with the state environment.
He very much wants that military and the other aid for the simple reason that he wants to help Kimball, and he wasn't good. He wasn't good himself. Or he would serve as a conduit, but he is extremely interested in Chinese, not a bad deal of information on China. I asked them all,
they are way more reasonable,
very dull, but I asked them all. In the Philippines, we got there, just spent about 4 hours. President Marcos couldn't have been nicer.
Oh, you saw him?
Oh, yeah. Oh, his wife met Nettie and took her all through the palace. My God, they had a buffet set up for us, and they had an entertainment, a party, and dancing, and music. They really did the whole thing. We worked that for 4 hours.
How did they feel?
They had their action. They had it. And we were there the day after. We were there.
You got happy about that?
Yes, all over. I would say he's a hell of a cool, I should say. Because he knew it was not going well.
This is their center.
Yes, and their provincial governors and mayors. But he said that we've lost ground, and he said that we may lose 5 out of 8. Worse than that, number 6. But he said, we're going to carry the provincial governors and mayors, and said, you know, they're the ones that have the senators, except from a propaganda standpoint, and it hurts you. And he said, but I could lose them all and still control the Senate. But he said, psychologically, it hurts. He said, we've had some troubles. He said, this bombing here, said, it's not good. We've got some churches in place. And the selection said, I'm sorry, we're not doing that. But said, we're going to do very well in the mayor's provinces. Mayor versus provincial versus. Said, we'll win 2/3 of them. That's about what he's doing. She was quite upset about it. She explained it all the way to do the whole board.
She appears in the whole world. Big, pretty.
Well, she
was very tough.
Yeah, she was next tough. And she was kind of smart. She's
got a great office.
And I'll listen. She is
going to have a great deal. She may succeed in
that. Yeah. But I didn't get any indication that.
It's a long way off.
Well, I did. She sat next to me. I sat next to her. On this party. And this mansion. And I got there. They had kids in there in the palace. She leaned over to me and she says, I will ask you for something for every youngster. I said, I don't know if any youngster would ever be able to ask me for every youngster. She said, you don't need to ask for it.
Ha!
And I said, I'll answer that if you tell me what I'm going to ask for.
Yeah.
And she laughed. And I said, well, I said, Mark was at least, I can say, that I had a vote for the Grand Bushes. I said, how about you? And she just laughed, and we turned it off that way, but she was disappointed, and he was upset about the brother of the vice president, who he fell out with about a year ago. Rogers, I think it was, probably the crook. And the brother owned that, and one of the real original owned all the television stations. And well, he really worked on it for us. And they said he spent $1 million on this one. But his concern, and I pass this on to him, and I'll give him a full rundown of it. I also pass it on to State Department. He says they're going to meet on November 24th. Kuala Lumpur, the heads of all the Southeast Asian countries, and he wanted some guidance from the United States on the question of military bases in that part of the world. He said Malaysia wants to outlaw, they want to pass the legislation to outlaw all military bases in Southeast Asia. And secondly, he said the Asian leaders may want to adopt a resolution calling on the great power that I mean, calling on the great powers to adopt a non-aggression pact with respect to Southeast Asia. And I said, well, I'm sure we'd be for that. I said, on the basis, I said, I have a wrong to do it. And I said, just because of you, your brother took it. And I said, well, I said, and that's what I heard. So I said, no, I'm entitled and the reach is total. And I said, now, we can't give the military assistance. We can't live up to our commitments. If we don't have somebody down there, it's fine because we have to protect the people. And, provided she were gone, but if something else did, well, we don't have the ability to even have a base. And I said, we get back to touch with him. Now, he said that on military aid, that they really are a great decision. They have no projections, no long-range plans. And he said, well, I said, we don't know whether to tell them on these bases, both these 5 or 10 years from now or not. And I said, well, I'm sure we do. You're going to kick us out. You're not going to want to kick us out. But he said, we will certainly want you here as long as I'm here. I will keep them. The next doctrine is the right doctrine, self-reliance and so forth. He said, we have the men. He said, I think South Korea had, South Vietnam, perhaps there's an exception, so maybe you had to send them in there. But said, you don't have to send the United States troops into these other countries if you send the facilities and materials early enough and train them. So for instance here, we have plenty of men, but we need your facilities, your equipment, and your training. But what we need to do is to do a 4-year plan. Know what materials we're going to get, what facilities we're going to have. And say, in 4 years, we can set up a real training program. We should, as a matter of fact, the Philippines is the example of the rest of the world. Self-protection, self-reliance, and self-sufficiency. And you want to be particularly with you for all of your help and all of your assurances that you were going to stay in Southeast Asia and you were going to maintain an interest in the Philippines. And he's very worried about Chinese subversion. And he says now, I'm not worried about it. He says if they were organized military, it's a really different problem. We take care of those. No problem at all, so we wipe them out. But he said it's the subversion. He said it's not the insurgency, it's the subversion. He said the Chinese are experts at it. He said they're operating in the Philippines now. The Northern's on right where I operate for years. And he said right where I have the hub. He said I know the country and I know the people. And he said they're in there. And he said that now, but nobody thought. But he said, depending on what y'all do with the Chinese, depending on what happens in this whole part of the world, they could become a very serious problem. And he was suspicious. He said that sometimes it's quite difficult for us to explain to others in our own country and in other countries the United States actions, because we frequently do not have information about what you're really planning and so forth. So what he was doing with that, he brought in on board the plans that he did. So in each case, I told him about Henry's visit, about the conversations he had, communications, security, all the rest of it. Had private meetings with him again, had a long private meeting with him, and the attitude could have been nicer, could have been more fun. We talked about a lot of politics, and she was extremely cordial. They just couldn't have been more used. Couldn't have been nicer. Matter of fact, you're only there 4 hours, you know. And then we went right on in. Well, we didn't want to go during the elections.
Yeah.
So we went to the next day, which was
that was good though. You could go in 4 hours.
And we never got to know.
Just compress everything.
Sure. And then we got on out. Went in Japan and had a, I think, excellent meetings in Japan. We didn't solve our problem. I had visits with Long, visits with the finance minister, the foreign minister, Minister of International Trade Minister, Tanaka, and Fukuda, Suda. First, quite long. 2 hours and a half
of those in China.
And all
our
neighbors,
and all the ministers. You ought to reassure all of us,
that's right. And that reassurance is very important. And even the finance minister, Rob Carson, when we started out, we had people in the house.
This is terribly important to
know. They're
sitting right up there on the edge of the
land. And but Sato couldn't have been friendlier, couldn't have been nicer. We talked about the monetary thing, and I said, well, we're ready to shut it when you are. I said, no, we don't want it. I said, I didn't come here to be the money at all, but very much appreciate you working out. Thank you.
Were you there when they, or had it happen to that when they opened out and the group was sent?
I was there.
They were pleased with that. That's very, the hell of both, you know, and they were very close against it. That made a good impression.
Very excellent impression. But they arrived in the middle of it, and they were just going through hell.
Yeah.
On the Okinawa version.
Yeah. Discuss this matter of the land you retained?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He brought it up.
And we told him
I told him that you had missed with the Prime Minister Kishi about it. His brother wants to be helpful, he wants to be accommodated. And I said, I have to do it. These trade monetary matters are all considered. Certainly, he wants to pay with it. Consider this matter of the beaches, the size, the basins. Try to be helpful to go where they can. But
talked about the money thing, considerably. I gather that they are not quite ready to move, but they're just totally off, totally solid. Dan Wilson and I were there. They stay on that floor all day long. They can't leave without permission of the guy. He can't get out. He transacted his business. I saw him each afternoon, first time myself. Time to shoot. So I thought it was 6:05 to 8:30 at night. And that night, we kept the foreign ministry for good to get dinner for us. And gosh, he and I were late to put the dinner. All of you might be. He was very warm, very friendly, very concerned about the China thing. They had a mission going over the next day, a trade mission, about 15 of their top businesses. I had lunch with them one day, about 8 of them. And Johnson was there. Suggestions about what they could do, but they knew their own problems much better than we did. They didn't do what trade concessions they could make, but at least economic and political damage to themselves. They knew what they could do from the standpoint of revaluation, political and economic. Whatever they could do, I'm sure it wouldn't be enough. They have to be back to about 24%. So I didn't kind of look at it, and I said, I frankly don't think you can do that at one time. So I had to do evaluation. All of the discussions were excellent. We got into some detail with Tanaka, who was the Minister of International Trade and Industry. We talked about a number of specific things. I was not trying to negotiate with them and told them that because the way the meetings were set up, there wasn't any way I could do it. First day I met with Mizuda, and the second day I met with their equipment, Paul McCracken, Tim Wood, who's head of the economic coordinating study. Then I met with Akagi, Agriculture Commissioner for an hour.
Right.
And then I left him and immediately went to Tanaka, the Minister of International Trade and Industry, and had an hour and a half with him. Then I went to a luncheon. And then the afternoon, including that evening, one with the Fukuda and later the Prime Minister. So there was no opportunity to get into it, although I told him we were ready to do it. And I said, we're ready tomorrow or next week. And I think they wanted to probably have one more attempt at the group of 10, so that we could get a group of 10 before they did it bilaterally. I think they just, with this Okinawa version up, I think it was scared to move. Although I have the impression that even in the face of the textile thing and the China movement, that the repercussions have not been anything like as bad or as disastrous as they all made out like it's going to be. As a matter of fact, I think there's some indication from our over there that the South Korea situation is improved because of Tibetan. They say, we lost the China part of the United Nations. But people say, I had made up his mind. He made a decision. He did something. He did it on his own. So apparently,
his position is not weak, but if anything, it's strength. I talked to him about the SST. That's something like that. He is not the COVID committee with it, so I had to go back and just he and I had to cover it there, so I had to go back and kind of fit him on the back and talk about the Concord. The Russian one. And then about our SST, so we got $50,000. And so it was very interesting things about going into the joint venture arrangement with us, using our technology and putting up equipment and items of market research. So we're partners to build it. And this sound wonderful. But he said, frankly, I don't know enough about it to be able to give you a firm answer. But he said, I would sure like to go into it. He said, we have no great expertise on jet engines. And I said, well, perhaps you don't have to. We'd obviously divide up the work on some basis, and we divide up the research, divide up the production. We take the engines, you take the airplanes or something of that sort. So whether we can do an equitable division of activity between the two nations, we just have that. And he said, I'm sure that one thing about that, I feel that you guys come back over and talk about it.
Everything he brought, I said to us, your 5% to real growth is great prosperity. I said, now, it really is coming down. But I said, you can't measure the future by the past. Because I said, your base is already so big that you can't have the percentage growth that you have. I said, you're talking about the percentage, it's not fair. And I said, that's the experiment like Germany, talking about their inner recession. I said, maybe they got to fire some of the standards in Washington. They had plenty of pay to do the work because they were overemployed. My God, the level of their activity was such they didn't have the manpower to do it. I said, they brought people in all over Europe. I said, now maybe they haven't sent to go home. I said, I regret that. But I said, that's how a lot different. Plus, I had $5.5 million in rent for it. And I said, we don't want an advantage. And I said, if you all have a recession, that's fine. I said, we'll agree with you on a sliding scale. I said, I've got more faith in your future. I said, if you think you're going to have a hard time, let's agree on something. I said, we'll have a fluctuating, we'll have a fluctuating scale. But I said, as a bad point, my point of view, our country's point of view, I just can't see where you have a great, sad story to tell. I said, this year, you've added over $9 billion reserve. I said, now I've got $14.1 billion reserved. I said, that's more than the world has done. I said, that's more than the country. I said, that's a big deal. But they were trading from the time we started the finance ministry, the ministry of trade ministry. They were all saying, well, our contract is not. But the census ways of all these 15 that our business has been terrible. I said, but my information is just a contract. I said, your customs figures, your certified customs figures for September and October after the president's action on August 15th are up considerably over what they were last year. I said, as a matter of fact, your exports this year are 25% above what they were last year. I said, that's a tremendous increase, 25%. And I said, your exports last year were at a very high level. Well, I said, we've got a depression because our imports are down. Our exports are up. Because our imports are down, we're not doing the business here, so we're fighting for the export markets. I said, well, that'd be fine, actually. But that isn't quite true. I said, your imports are up 4.5%. I said, now they're not up 25% like the exports, but they're up 4.5% above what they were last year. They're not down. Well, they said, on a relative basis, we went down. I said, I understand. So we got this kind of a talk back and forth. For the better part of 2 days. Now, I think I could have probably pushed for a settlement with them, and I'm not sure we would have gotten it, though. I really think that they're so preoccupied at the moment with this diet debate on the Okinawa reverse, and they're so concerned about this foreign aid thing. And my God, they wanted to know about South Korea and Premier Sato really wanted to know if we were going to keep the troops there and if we were going to keep the troops in Taiwan and if we were going to live up to our troop commitments in Taiwan. And every single thing they could ask about that was what they asked about. And this other came along with was almost all kind of type of discussion. Now, the Tanaka, the Minister of Industry and Trade, International Trade and Industry. He did talk about China. He talked about just trade now. And monetary now. He probably settled with Japan either just prior to or just after the next weekend.
That's right.
The end of this month, probably. I didn't call it. Probably would call it tomorrow. But it's the 30th of November, the 1st of December, or the 7th or 8th of December. Depending on whether or not we're ready to settle this thing. And in that connection, I'm going to make a speech to the Economics Club on Tuesday. And what I'd like to do, President, I think we're getting in a little bit of a trap. We're not getting ourselves in the other, you're putting us in it.
bad, but I don't like to see people, and I don't like to be in it myself, because it's not true, it's not justified. But I just noticed the other day where Watt and Gale and Sanders and Paul Sanders and Freeman all talked about how bad this import surcharge was, and they should have been put on. Sanders had said my remarks in Japan were monstrous, and that our negotiating and was yet for just terrible, and this was the wrong way, this strong arm tactic was terrible. And I think this is going to be the thing, you know, I think this is the thing.
That's the line that is developing, and the right line, and incidentally, you know, it's a line which architect or began to take for the left. That's where it is at the present time. There are great pressures. You get some of that from Hendrick. I don't mean we won't get into the economic side, but on the political side, of course, we need this kind of Rogers, of course, all the State Department people. And I deliberately have made it all everybody. I haven't met with the whole group that you left. Peterson, of course, would have kept him out of his house because he doesn't want to do these things. That's what the current move is here. How we handle it is a matter of it may give some reassurance that we are in progress, that we are looking into this, hoping something to do, or maybe something else. What is your view?
Well, before you had a chance to analyze all this stuff that you come back.
No,
but I've analyzed part of it, but after
the you don't need an analyzer anymore. The law I said on the line is the line of most of our critics,
both outside the administration
and those in my permanent rule of men.
I think it's been changed for them.
Oh, hell yes.
I bet we're starting.
Hell yes.
I think our committee is high, so I don't have a question.
He's playing the legal hard game.
No question. And anyhow, I saw him once when he was on the United States, and I talked about money supply. And he said, I was fairly tough on him, which I have a copy of.
He's done in a very private way. But I put the money right on him. I said, now, if you're this has been held out, you've got to step up to this thing or go for it. So he adopted this company, but they didn't do that thing. He was simply following the Congress very carefully. So they didn't do that in terms of spending money supply.
Memorandum.
It was not part of that. What we have here is a situation where we really ought to step in now and take charge of this thing. I mean, and that's discipline within our own shop. Again, I deliberately waited a few came back until we determined what we want to do. The other side of the thing, I think that generally speaking, considering that pickleball is going to happen, they work the price for it rather well. We had a hell of a time. I mean, we don't know what the mean employees will do, but I don't think they voted against it, which is all right. On the other hand, they haven't walked out, which is important. If they have voted for it, it looks like a sellout. So that's something we're going to discuss tomorrow. But I think they're pretty high marks for the Grayson and both. And Rocky Rumsfeld, and I think to another volunteer that will roll up in 6 years. We were watching that closely, and I thought it would keep you informed, particularly with regard to the payboard thing. But, you know, that was a tough one. We really sat through 5.5% for next year. Let's face it, you're going to have to pay your record. We can't break the contract, you know that. But if we can have 5.5%
half of what it has given us. And that would be hell of a thing.
That would be hard to pay if you get the engineering life productivity if we both get help.
At rate of inflation of maybe 2.5 to 3, that means you don't have a wage price question. And it'll be a fantastic financial. Now, if you have some screens, the pictures in the other night, if it's really irresponsible. And of all people, the business people screaming about the tax, I mean, the Protestant on the ground that, you know, they said the profit margins, market should be limited, although the amount of profit would be limited. And so the business people screaming, how the hell can they expect labor to be responsible if they say they won't do it? Because if you tell a business guy, well, you can make as much as you want, but you gotta get off your ass and sell more. You know, but they, that business group is a pretty sad bunch, isn't it? They're a sad bunch.
But
anyway, well, they agree, but I mean, they talk so much, you know, about, and I say that, you know, a lot of good ones, they talk so much about their country, the labor boys are much happier. And when it comes down to something like this, where the labor boys have to drink their head, they squeal. But all in all, I felt pretty good. I want you to look into it, see how you feel about it. You probably, your people are sitting in on all this, and you know what the deals are. But you got that on that front. But it seems to me that on the international thing, what we have to do now is take a hard look at it and set in some course.
But one of the questions,
and what course we set is, I think, is for us to determine. We damn if we're going to be forced into something by Burns's doing. I mean, it's really something the way our place is going. Now, how we're going to handle it, I don't know. I simply don't know. But we try to prepare. We're trying to have to come right down to the net cutting of the support of the law. And it may be that we will have to take a game away. What are your feelings? You thought I had
the only thing that I think we ought to do at this point is spend a little time with what press we have, and using the opportunity to do that, which I'm going to refuse to.
Yeah.
Just figure this, taking this line, basically, that one of the reasons why you did what you did was in order to protect the capacity of the United States to maintain the military establishment and the security shield for the free world, and to be able to maintain the capacity to continue the aid that is so absolutely essential to the developing nation. That this is the only nation that can do it. That we have reached a point in the erosion of our international economic picture and our domestic picture to where we will not share it. In the the prosperity, where we were not sharing the prosperity that was so much a part of Germany, Japan, you want to call it, let's say with 5.5 million people unemployed here, with a stagnant, the relatively stagnant economy, something had to be done. Otherwise, protectionism was going to run rampant in the United States, so that you took this move in order to strengthen the position of the United States to provide the jobs here to permit the continuation of the maintenance of the shield and the economic assistance. And this is particularly critical in a year where you're going to China, where you're going to Moscow, where you hope to make progress with the SALT talks, where if there's ever a time in the history of the United States where you needed to strength that time is now. And if you anticipate this strength by shoring up the economic foundation of this nation, and that that's what you set out to do. And if this is the very heart of this, anticipate the continuing role in international affairs in major proportion. But the thing that's been most devastating to us is the actions of the Senate. And just in one fell swoop, just cutting out all foreign aid. Now, sure, they've resurrected it, but they've resurrected it after the fact. And here, men like Mansfield and Fulbright, who've always been strong supporters of foreign aid, when they have a Democratic president, call for bipartisanship. But here, all in one time, in one fell swoop, they abandoned both the partisanship of the, and the concept of foreign aid, and become protectionist, and provincial, and partisan. You don't have to call it those two by name, you don't want to. But in effect, say, these are the protections. These are the men that want to withdraw. Those who voted to kill foreign aid.
Basically, the new isolationists. The new isolationists is what they are, the new protectionists. The new, unilateral bars, that's what it is. They want to withdraw from the world, that's what. I mean, it really comes out to, they want to reduce our national footprint, that would reduce what they're doing. Well, they say, oh, let's help India. Jesus Christ, they don't realize whether India goes up or down, doesn't make any damn difference to us. But I got whether Southeast Asia, or Japan, or Korea, or Europe, for example, whether or not we can make any difference. Now, they say, how about that?
Well, that's the type that I think we ought to start setting. That the very essence of your program is international in character and in execution. It was conceived as an international program and being administered and executed as an international program. So we can continue these activities. Then on the other hand, the very people that are being critical of you and of me and of the program are the new isolationists. Those who want to cut out all foreign aid, who really want to withdraw, who don't want to provide the military shield, who don't want to live up to the responsibility imposed upon America to be doing pretty well. I think this is the tact that at least for the international group that we have to try to do it. And I think it's basically true. The mere fact that we want a fair shake in international trade doesn't
we have to withdraw. The point that this has to be solved in the is that a weak United States will be an isolationist United States. That the United States must maintain its international law and its economic law by like telling, but we will not play that role. So we've got to restore that out. We have to do it. Think about it. One thing I think would be very important is to put a pretty positive line on how much the 1983 deal with Sweden and the Texas rejected it. The fact that it was successful, it did stop the rise of prices. The fact that the condition of that was for whatever it's worth, the balance of trade did change. The fact that we can't make too much on this in the present time, but at least on the point of what has come down is a little more important in the future. But now we have a more solid basis for confidence in the future, because we have now, we're looking at building a prosperity which is not based
Your confidence that we are going to be with this office.
going to be, I think the basis for it is that the two of us, that when we acted on August the 15th, we acted to get rid of an unsound system. Now, after having taken that tough, hard action, we must not replace it with another unsound system. That's really a critical thing. And here's where the Burns crowd, and frankly, some of us in the national crowd, we have to go right back and say, God, that's no question. Do you think so?
No question.
I don't know what your people do. I don't know whether your voters doesn't pass. I see, I deliberately felt, I felt very strong how you were gone. And I resisted everyone, felt a whole bunch. Talking about this, I should tell them, we just wait 2 weeks. So we wait, and that makes the proper thing to do. And now that we're back with the hill, and we do what we can, well, please.
No, I agree. Sure. I don't think we've been hurt, particularly, we get some flags.
Yeah, you,
it's called, just
when you take them, you run into this, the Wall Street crowd, they always try to find excuses for what happened there. Because of uncertainty about, first because of uncertainty about phase two. Well, the answer to that, of course phase two is uncertain. The way to have certainty is to have a totalitarian economy. With a totalitarian economy, it is not a free economy. So ours is an uncertain and deliberately so. But I got one that we know is certain, and that is the rate of inflation is going to come down, and the way that wage rates are going to come down, and that's good. And that's the way to crack a hard math. The other thing is that they don't, and they said the problem is on certainty about our international monetary. Now, for Christ's sake, the effect that should have on our economy is zilch. So, right? Just zilch.
And then you have to
go back to it, huh?
Whatever that is, it's going to improve. Just a question of how much.
Those guys are going to say, but what we want to do is we've got to, I think the way to disarm is to indicate more is even going on in negotiating than it actually is. I sort of play it that way, so I don't. If we have sort of set this up, you know, let's face it, China initiated the Soviet announcement and all the rest, gives them an incentive as well as the Vietnam announcement. It disarms these people who do the unexpected. And I would let the critics feel the things that are going on. Because I thought of you, a real part about it in the morning again, and when you had a chance to, but I have a feeling myself that your speech from our very built up line of expression, secretary of the police, okay. That's inevitable. I don't think it's bad.
Well,
but having a build up, I think that I would use it for the purpose of making some positive point out of it. And that also, the economy has been flat for 20 years. It's now moving up. Let's face it. In fact, the big heroes coming out of George also said to the consumer, retail sales, moving up. The goddamn business people are there. Nervous comments, actually. Also, as a matter of fact, the congressman, I'm not concerned, I'm sure you're not, the fact that the congress has raised that protection to $800, we got to fight it.
But then sign it, right?
Right.
So they have to blame that for the deficit.
Or if I see no other choice. But if they want to goose it up, I'm just sorry they didn't give us the 10% of the investment tax credit.
You don't have any choice but to sign it and buy it and pay that.
That's another thing, you know, an interesting thing, John, is that part of the industry is so low that they don't have to wait for the Congress to act in the country. If there's anything certain in this world, well, any of the stupidest person knows that Congress is going to pass that tax bill. Right?
Right.
And, but on the other hand, when it does, and the checks will go out to the million people who are million and a half that bought cars and bought a script, and that will change the economy some.
Well,
I think there's a positive thing going on here a lot. In fact, I think there's a tendency, except I will say this, and you and I got one of those. I want you to look at this money supply thing. If you reach the conclusion, Schultz has reached a very strong, you would expect them to be monitors. But frankly, the New York crowd, the best way to arrest all three of the planning deals this way, the council is unanimous on Stein, Stein, and Solomon, and of course, the Kramer. And here our figure is out to fight the windmills. We feel something. We reach the conclusion that we've got to kick in on the money supply. I think we should do it. How do you feel about it?
Well, I think you have to. It's
too late.
Well, when I saw it when I left here, it was
zero.
Yes, been zero for 3, 4 months now.
And I said, well, I'm going to do it, I'm going to lose my own time, I'm going to lose the wait time.
You wait too long.
We'll have the update in December of next year.
But you should be back.
But this has been banned. Unbelievable. And, I don't know. You said power line?
Yes, sir.
I still haven't given this, the function change.
Well, that's good.
The board.
So who's your new, agriculture?
Oh my God, that happened, we went down the road for everybody and so forth. We finally took bus, real bus, articulate able, run the farm, just farm on the market, he's been in agriculture for time, all his life. And he's, he'll be all right, from Indiana. Corn, hogs, it's the heart of the whole thing. And, the farm bureau, the grain, and the farmers union, all the, the farmers organization, and I go, our commission, that's the last thing, they said, come down. So I think we did fairly well. We tried to, we went around and around the track, and trying to get a cattle man, just like to do. But it only, kind of fighting, you know, and I'm going to get a result.
Yeah, like,
it went certainly right away, it's affecting the beef. Taking that job, you know, with this is the right time. This fall is one that I would like to think about too, whether or not we, here's the thing on the corn cob. Cliff and all of those people said, don't raise the price of corn, and they got all off technical arguments, because next year is going to want to, the big problem is, if it sets in too long, if corn at 90% maybe, it's going to be awful tough, so I will probably take the hard way to say. And I think, I mean, we've got to take, we have to do something, and I'm totally responsible right now. Now, we had one that didn't happen, and I was strong, and I say strong, I personally worked on this. We got Teddy Lee's Siemens, and the long time, and Teddy Siemens Union. And then Chip and Grain, so we could, so we sold for $100 million.
Sorry, yeah, did that go through?
It did, there'll be another couple of $250 million, but the main thing that went through the Union Street, now the soldiers,
that didn't have to be shipped in American dollars.
No, sir, that's correct. That's the only way to go ahead. So we worked that out, that's the, you know, that was tried twice before. Now, this is that, all that started what you mentioned to you, but Henry Howard agreed Johnson's point, and he said that he was very critical of his international monitoring. I don't know what the hell he knows about it.
Well, Henry mentioned that to me, and I said, but who in the hell has he been talking to? He said, well, I don't know. And I said, well, he never had a thought about it. And I said, that's why we
know. He knows about it much better as I do. I don't know him.
Hell, he knows less than you. He thinks less than you either.
Well, he's never been in an
international. Why, he couldn't care less.
I don't know how he got into it.
Well, somebody's been talking to him. Either Helen, or Rostow, or
Rostow. God damn it, Rostow.
Well, I doubt that it's Walter. I'm just thinking of people, but I would say it would be. Yeah, I would say it'd be Helen.
Helen, yeah,
and Howard is a very articulate
man.
And able problem.
So I think he's a pretty good man, actually. He's like a free one, but I think he's a decent problem.
He'd do that. Well, he's a good party. He's a Democratic Party.
Sure is. He's from Minnesota.
And he benches economics according,
just like Sanderson does.
That's right.
Sanderson does exactly the same.
But it's either him or Kermit Gordon or Arnold.
He said it,
or someone
said that Johnson was going to cover that speech tomorrow.
Well, I think if he does, I'll just touch him up a little bit.
I think he wants to pay
out with us.
Did you want to? Well, we just talked him on the phone, didn't you?
Well, he's told me, he said, I'm going to go up there, but I'm going to take you all, and I'm not going to collect it. But I'm going to take you all home. Some of your international people, some of my selectors, which are all know about being taken on over international people.
I think it's this though, the international people.
Well, I think that's right. And if he does, that's fine. I'll just touch him up a little bit.
You know, we had one, I guess we got to go over there. dinner, but I had a press conference Friday, which, Deacon, they do a post back. And said, so I don't, it says even this new four A building that's passed, it's $365 million. And he said, Alan's present, how can you put assurance in you with us that that's not the Cambodia that we are going to slide to Vietnam? I mean, Cambodia, just like we slid into Vietnam, so we didn't slide to Vietnam. I said, there was a conscious decision made by President Kennedy to send the first combat people to Vietnam. President Johnson made conscious decisions to send people to Vietnam. I'm not criticizing, but that was, those were conscious decisions for Americans to go there, to become involved. I said, we made a conscious decision not to have Americans involved in Cambodia. There are no American combat people there, there are no advisors there, and there are not going to be any. But this is the Nixon doctrine, it's pure form. We're helping Cambodia to defend itself. I said, we're not going to make a mistake to make the attack on the Cambodian. I thought we just were touching on that. I think it is. First question was first, we let these people off to you. We let everybody, we let all our critics off to you.
Goddamn right.
Now Bill Rogers does it.
And he ought to be up hitting them in the ass.
He really ought to.
Yes, he never does. He just,
and Alexis Johnson and all of us in every department. And I'm guilty of it.
I'm going to pay him off.
And
Laird
has never criticized one human being.
Never.
I know that.
He has never fighting. You've done it. And, you know, we've got to get some Japanese people to work with him on a hell of a time. I guess there's not a shape of the other man.
Well, now, Rogers, for example,
he ought to be out there being a little bit of a right knee rather than a left one. So you see, I should be a peacemaker. I've always got a chance to say, by God, we're going to withdraw $45,000. That's the reason we're going to withdraw $45,000 is because we've got Americans that are in prison, and I'm not going to withdraw them down until we have. So we can have some influence. And also, I've got to protect over 1,000 Americans. So I've got, if they infiltrate January, February, December, we'll be ready to go.
Well, this is the only thing that worries me about this international monetary thing. Not that we're not doing the right things. You got to be truthful about it. That none of these people have given an inch. Now, we force them to float.
Yeah.
And the only way they've given an inch is by floating. But other than that, they come forward with absolutely nothing.
Is that right?
Really nothing. Except they say we'll cooperate, you know, we'll
yeah, in other words, they come forth with what basically, as I understand, they want us to raise the price of oil for that's good. Well, you're gonna, as I said, I want you to talk to the Republican to get his witness down inside of these Europeans. You know, this is really the problem. Every time we have a situation like this, the United States is expected to be responsible. The rest of the country, the nations, to be responsible.
That's correct.
Now, in this instance, we, of course, have to act as if we're being responsible. We've got to be very clever. But on the other hand, we've got to be very, very, very strong. And that's not. I don't know what this whole goal of it, I don't know anything about it. But it seems to me that the argument that Schultz makes, that if you raise the price of gold, no matter how you cut it, that really means if you're going back to some point on the durability. I guess it does. I don't know.
No, it doesn't necessarily.
No, it doesn't. Maybe what you're doing.
Well, it doesn't mean that. What he's worried about and what I think Paul's worried about, and that's exactly the situation we find ourselves in now. When we start getting on gold, then these same internationalists, these same colonists, these same countries are going to be putting political pressure on us, then go back to durability.
Yeah. Do you think we should go back to Burton?
Hell no. No, sir. Not in gold. No, sir. I do not.
Now, the price of gold, how do we make a
difference?
Particularly, if we'll agree to demonetize it. But if we're going to get right back in that trap,
because maybe that's the deal we can make with the French.
That's probably the problem. Probably the deal. If we do that, we can make that kind of deal with them. You can make that kind of deal with them.
Why don't you walk over to the other side? But I just,
I don't think we ought to. Of course, Canada, as you say, is a, these guys, it's like, all